Brett Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here at 720 WGN. Yesterday we had the Democratic nominee for Attorney General.
Yes.
Today the Republican nominee for Attorney General, Erica Harold, is with us. And I think most people don't even understand what the Attorney General does. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
I think, you know, when you go, what exactly do they do?
What's the actual role? That's true. And how do you approach it?
But I think one of the questions that we started with Kwame Raoul about, I'll start with you, Erica, because I think this is the one thing that people can concern themselves with in this particular time in American history, is that attorneys general from around the country get involved in all kinds of either agreeing with or pushing off the federal government in terms of what they want to do in the states. And that becomes it, and that's become kind of a firestorm in some, depending on what the laws are and what the rules are. And there are attorneys general get involved, whether it's gun rights or abortion or other kinds of things. They're jumping in on it. How do you see states' rights in the state of Illinois versus the federal government here, just sort of in a broad view?
In a broad view, I view it as the role of the Attorney General to enforce Illinois law, to make sure that you defend Illinois law from any federal encroachment, but to respect the limits of the separation between state and federal power. And so your job is to make sure that you're a vigorous advocate for Illinoisans' interests, but doing so in light of the fact that the federal government does have jurisdiction over certain things. And when there's a conflict, then you're making sure that you're only filing lawsuits that are based on legal matters.
I think what many people would credit Lisa Madigan with is consumer advocacy. She has been an extremely powerful voice for consumers across the state of Illinois. And Kwame Raoul pointed that out yesterday, and he said that he would be very much like Lisa Madigan in terms of his approach to this position of Attorney General. I guess I wonder, I know you say that you want to have a focus. Your focus would be different, obviously. You're differentiating yourself, and one of those ways is public corruption. You said you'd go after that more vigorously.
I think that one of the areas in which Senator Raoul and I both agree is the need to continue being a vigorous advocate for consumer protection issues. The Attorney General is empowered both under state and federal law with enforcement authority to be able to address issues, whether it's predatory lending or identity theft, making sure that senior citizens are protected. Those are all ways in which the Attorney General will continue to be able to be a vigorous protector of consumers.
Yeah, but let's go to public corruption. Let's just go to that, because I think that's one of the great, well, traditions of the state of Illinois. Let's just face it.
It's embedded in our politics historically.
It is.
What's kept me busy as a journalist in the past.
Yes.
And it's a bipartisan problem, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Yeah. True.
We like to send governors to the clink, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. That's how we enjoy ourselves here. There's been a lot of concern, obviously, when you have a lot of people don't like Mike Madigan, right? Because he's been there forever, a very powerful wielding of his sword, kind of a guy down in Springfield, and his daughter's been the Attorney General, and there a lot of Republicans have argued that has created a lack of investment or I'm sorry, investigative pressure from. From the Attorney General's office on the legislature. Do you think that's true? And what would you do to change it?
I think it is true. There are inherent conflicts of interest when you have a family member that is in government in that capacity. And there are several things that the Attorney General can do to be able to be more proactive. One is to use the current statutory authority that the Attorney General has to continue investigations under the State Ethics Act. There's also the ability for the Attorney General to enforce the Open Meetings Act and the Freedom of Information Act through the Public Access Counselor. And that's something that's very important, because those sunshine laws help to prevent public corruption from occurring in the first place. But I also think that the General Assembly needs to empower the Attorney General with more investigative tools to be able to fight public corruption.
Oh, wait. Hey. Hold
wait
on.
Wait a minute.
Wait a second. Hold on. That means you're going to be looking at us.
Is there something you need to share?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, I can just imagine that's what the legislators are thinking to themselves. Right? Whoa. What do you suspect? I mean, as you know, you're running for this office. Where, like, you know, if you were to win day one, January 1 or whatever, whenever you take over, I mean, are there investigations that you think need to be launched or places you need to start looking?
I would not go into office with a preconceived notion or a set list of investigations, because that's not at all how this office works. There are certain triggers under law where if you have evidence of misconduct, then you are empowered to do an investigation. And I think it's really important to highlight that distinction, because this office is not used to target political opponents. And to the extent that it's used in that way, that's an abuse of power.
You have an ad running now that's attracting some attention, and I know it's getting, you know, close to the election, so a lot of people are running their powerful ads. But one of them, this one particular one, says you would stand up against Madigan and Pritzker. And some people say that's sort of presumptuous, that you're assuming that Pritzker wins, and I know he's way ahead in the polls, but Governor Rauner has been a big supporter of yours personally and financially. And are you assuming that that's going to happen? And you're obviously selling the point that you'd be an independent voice to fight those types of alliances that might not be in the best public interest. But what are you actually saying there?
I certainly hope that Governor Rauner prevails, because I think many of J.B. Pritzker's policies would be bad for Illinois, including the progressive income tax. But the reality is that you do need to have a two-party system in Illinois. And there are a lot of people who do tell me they are voting for me to make sure that we do have a two-party system within Illinois. Certainly, though, I hope that Governor Rauner does prevail, because I think his policies in many respects lead Illinois down a better path than what J.B. Pritzker has set forth.
Mm-hmm. So is it, you would likely be, if you were to win, because you're in a hotly contested race, at least as the polling seems to show. You're the closest Republican to winning in a constitutional battle here. Not constitutional battle, but
a
constitutional
You could be the only
office.
Republican in statewide office.
Right.
It's very possible.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say there, sort of. I'm getting there. And so if you were to be the only Republican, I mean, you'd basically be the most all the Republican hopes for the entire state of Illinois would be upon you. I mean,
it's quite a heavy burden.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it kind of is. I mean, is this and then the question would immediately be, you know, would you want to run for greater office, Senate or Governor?
So I'm looking to win on November 6th. I don't have my sights anywhere beyond that. But I think it is an opportunity to shape the Illinois Republican Party and to define the party based on principles, but also to define it based on inclusion. Because if I win this election, then I will be the first Black woman to ever be elected Attorney General within our state, and only the fourth nationwide. And things like that matter to people, because visible representation makes people feel more represented within government. And so I'm certainly working hard to make sure I can prevail on November 6th. And then my immediate task would be the best attorney general that the state of Illinois has ever had.
You are Miss America. You were Miss America. You Harvard graduate. But one, your platform as Miss America was an anti-bullying campaign.
Yes.
I think you were sort of almost ahead of your time on that front.
Way ahead of her time. Didn't work out great for any of us.
Well, people listened at that time, but I don't think there was just this awareness of how far it goes in this world of social media, when you can access kids even after school, and you can access people in 24 hours of the day, and it becomes even more of an aggressive and very dangerous and a difficult thing to deal with. Is that something you would continue to advocate for? Is there a role even within Illinois Attorney General's office to do something under that umbrella?
I would absolutely continue to advocate for greater protections for students from cyberbullying, because that's really the new way in which students target each other. But at the time when I launched this national platform, it was 2002. And the question I got most often from people was, why does this matter? Is there really an impact on victims' lives? And so I feel really proud that now everyone takes it as a given that bullying and targeting of people is harmful. And the reality, though, is there's still much more work to do, because social media has given young people a new vehicle. And I'd like to use the Attorney General's office to be able to highlight for parents what are the laws in terms of the kind of anti-harassment policies that the school should have. How can parents initiate conversations with their students about bullying? I know I was the victim of severe racial and sexual harassment when I was in high school. It ultimately led me to transfer. And it took me many months before I had the courage to tell my parents. Uh-huh. And I want parents to know that if they're waiting for their child to come home and say, "Mom or Dad, I've been bullied," that's not going to happen. So I want to give them concrete ways to protect their child and then to work with the school proactively to protect them.
It's interesting because the Republican Party, you know, obviously, you know, got with Donald Trump as the head of the Republican Party, if you will, for the nation. Not exactly not a bullying guy, right? I mean, it's pretty clear. And his wife's got a very nice agenda, right, as a first lady, but it often flies in the face of what the reality of his Twitter account and other things that he says, including things he says at these rallies. He's coming up in just a little bit in Mosinee, Wisconsin, with a rally. We'll see if he changes his tone tonight in the aftermath of everything that has happened here. But it's pretty tough. You're running a very different kind of campaign, and you are the only Republican in the state of Illinois right now at statewide who's got a shot at winning. Well, okay, let me put it this way. You are likely, I meant it. That's what I meant.
You meant it. People are going to start laying into you.
Why do you think? I didn't let them lay into me. I'll see them all next Tuesday night, and we'll see who was right about this. But the question is, why do you think your campaign has cut through differently than some of the other ones?
From the very beginning, I've tried to focus on taking politics out of this office, and that has been attractive to people. I've also been willing to acknowledge that both parties bear responsibility for where we find ourselves, both in terms of public discourse, but also some of the policies. And I've talked about the Attorney General's office as being the watchdog on both parties. And I think that really struck a positive chord with people, because I'm not saying that only one party has good ideas and the other party has bad ideas. And I'm not trying to lay blame. I'm trying to say, how do we move forward as a state that has enormous challenges, but still great opportunities if we can work together? And the Attorney General has the opportunity to be that kind of a role, because you are supposed to be the people's lawyer, balancing everybody's interests, making sure that everybody feels heard and represented in the state of Illinois. And hopefully, by leading by example, I can inspire more people to be involved civically and to feel better about their government.
Follow up, Eric and Harold.
Go ahead, sir.
Do you think that just your general, now that you're kind of new to politics in this whole situation, as you watch it being practiced at the statewide level, the local level, but the federal level right now, the national level, what is your take on the tone?
I think that the tone is much more partisan and it's much more vitriolic. And one of the things I do from time to time is talk to people on both sides of the aisle who previously...
Partisan and vitriolic since when, though, would you say? Has it been going on for years? Is this recent? Do you see this moment in history as particularly different than others?
I think it is. And I ask people who used to serve in office if they've noticed a change. And they said they absolutely have noticed a change, and they wouldn't serve themselves if they were entering politics at this point in time. And one of the things they highlight is that they previously were able to have disagreements with people with the other party, but they were still able to afterwards believe the best about the other person, and that enabled you to move forward. And I think if we've lost that. You may disagree with somebody's policy or their approach to solving a problem, but I think we've moved to the point where we assume other people have bad intentions and bad motives.
Right, they're
that's
evil.
Corrosive.
There's an interesting poll out about it. You think the other side is evil.
Right.
And that number has gone up to 40% from 16% just 10 years ago.
Crazy.
You know, I mean, that's not
good for the country.
No, that isn't.
It's not.
You know, the legislators, Democrats and Republicans, they used to just go to the bar after, you know, in Springfield.
Right.
And they would, you know, they'd fight with each other on the floor. Then they'd go to the bar. And then
you're like, wait a minute.
And they'd split up the checks from the lobbyists. That's what they would do.
Exactly.
Is that how it always happened?
Somehow. Right. And everybody was happy.
Except for the people weren't necessarily better for it, I think. And I think that's another issue here is that if you were to become the only Republican statewide, and we're presuming a lot there, but imagine that. Do you think that the situation here with machine politics is an issue for the state of Illinois? Do you worry about that impact on our state? Would you fight against that?
I don't think machine politics is good for anyone, because it's not just a partisan problem. It actually stifles an entire generation of leaders. And really what you want to see is more ideas coming, new people entering the arena on both sides of the aisle, because I think that enables people to move past old grudges. It also makes people feel engaged in their democracy. And I would hope that would happen on both sides of the aisle.
You like term limits?
I do. I think we need term limits because...
What do you think are good term limits? Like that sort of the federal thing in terms of... For the executive, two terms. And
I think
then...
two terms for the executive, maybe a little bit longer for the General Assembly.
Yeah, because General Assembly, obviously, the House is two, and it's four in the Senate, not six
right.
in the Senate.
But I think in the executive branch, I think two terms should be sufficient, and I think the people really are benefited by having that kind of a turnover.
Workers' comp. What would be your plan, or would you address that? How would you address that? Workers' comp reform. I'm talking about in the state.
I would actually start with some proposals that were set forth by the current Attorney General, Lisa Madigan, and I would start with those proposals because I would want to take the partisanship out of the issue. I think we need to have a clearer causation standard. I think you also need clearer notice standards. That both enables an employer to know what kind of claim to defend, but also makes it easier for an employee that's been injured to have a process that's more expedited.
Mm-hmm. All right, Erica Harold wants to be your Attorney General. And you'll be able to make that decision a week from Tuesday.
Yes.
And then a week from Tuesday night, I'm going to be hearing from any other Republicans who won, going, what are you talking about?
Say you're wrong, bro.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
All right, have fun out there in the last couple of weeks here. Eddie Brill is standing by in the PPG Paints Green Room. He's going to play Newsarooza, this very funny man. That's coming your way after Judy's news. But first, Judy, what is coming up at the bottom of the hour?
An earful today on Chicago's police reform plan.